transmitting sound. Download complete. Now launching audio stream. The Kelly Alexander Show.
We're very excited to have you join us on this week's show because we have three amazing guests, including the one and only Howie D of the Backstreet Boys. Howie talks about his career in BSB, not to mention his new solo album called Back to Me, and how he's been supporting Nick Carter because, just like Nick, he also lost a sister. We then switch gears and speak to Solmaz McDaddy about smart shopping for Valentine's Day, and then singles and dating expert Kim Hughes joins us to talk about enjoying Valentine's Day as a vibrant single.
Capture your need for sound.
I'm so happy to welcome our next guest to the show. Not only is he a member of one of the biggest pop bands in history, selling over 100 million albums worldwide with the Backstreet Boys, but he's also an accomplished solo artist, having recently released his debut CD called Back to Me. Howie D, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, Kelly, how you doing?
I am great. Howie, thank you so much for joining us. And I want to start off by taking you back to when you were a kid. Did you actually always have it in your plans that you wanted to be a famous singer and entertainer?
Well, you know, actually, my family said all started when I was around 3 years old. I guess I got up in my grandma and grandpa's bed and had a little guitar and sang a song called Babyface. And they said ever since then they knew that I was, you know, had like talent in me and wanted to do something. And luckily enough, I had an older sister who was doing pageants and doing musicals. And she kind of let me follow her and get into it myself as well with her. And it's really cool. Like I say, I actually, by the age of 7, I knew for sure this is what I wanted to do.
And then how did you sort of progress with that to get towards, you know, being a part of Backstreet Boys and starting the group?
Well, I was very fortunate to have very supportive parents. My mother and father definitely noticed that I had an interest in music and actually in dancing and acting. So they were able to allow me to get into lessons, private lessons, and work on my craft. And so over the years, I worked on it. And then luckily enough, by the age of 19, after going out for lots of different auditions in life and, you know, doing lots of different work, I actually landed into a spot on the Backstreet Boys. And then from there, I just saw history was being made.
Did you have an idea when Backstreet Boys got going that you and the rest of the guys had something very special together as a group, as a band?
I did, actually. I absolutely did. You know, I always felt like, I never, believe it or not, as a younger person, never realized, you know, what exactly, how my career would take off and what would be my break. And believe it or not, was, you know, a fan of, like, the New Kids, and, you know, even I had a couple auditions, like, for Menudo and stuff like that, but never realized it was going to be a group that would be my break. And but when we got together and the harmonies, the music that we were able to create, the magic, I just, from that point, knew, like, wow, this is going to be something big.
Can you take us back to when things really started to roll for Backstreet Boys? Were you aware of, like, the complete sort of pandemonium going on around the group, or were you a bit removed from it? Did your managers sort of try to keep you guys safe and in a bubble?
I mean, we definitely had our eyes wide open seeing all the pandemonium. It was crazy. I don't think we expected it to be as big as it, you know, turned out to be. But, you know, it's something that we all embraced and, you know, tackled it on with open arms. And, you know, it's kind of crazy, you know, thinking back sometimes when we would, you know, literally you sometimes get off the tarmac at the airports and you have like Michael Jackson or the Beatles were there or something. And it was just us. But it's really, really cool to know that, you know, we have such awesome, amazing fans all around the world.
Was it difficult in those early years to sort of hold on to yourself as a person because, you know, so many people were obsessed with all of you and it seems like I'm sure that there was a lot of people trying to even just get into your inner circle. And I think a lot of your fans probably thought that they really knew, you know, who Howie D is. Was it hard to sort of hold yourself as a person, like hold on to yourself and what you were really about to your family and friends?
No, you know what? I'm very thankful that I have a good supportive family. I'm one of 5 kids and I came from a mother, a very loving mother and father who were married for over 50 years. And, you know, they were definitely my rock, my support. They always, you know, kind of guided me, you know, always helped me keep my feet on the ground. And I think it's because of them that I was able to, you know, remain level-headed and not let the success get to my head.
Was it challenging for you and the other guys in the group to sort of work through Nick and AJ's public battles with addiction? Like, did you ever think that the group might break up because of these problems?
I mean, we've become such a family. The five of us were so, like, you know, thick, so strong together that, we call each other, like, you know, brothers. I mean, we see each other, you know, more than we see our own family. So, you know, this like almost like the blood's thicker than water kind of a statement. But, you know, I know we were all very, very supportive of AJ and Nick when they've had their different issues in the past. And, you know, just for each other and, you know, whatever it may be, whether it's, you know, situations that they're going through, whether it's deaths in the family. Like I've had, my sister passed away from lupus and my father recently passed away from cancer. And, you know, the support system that we have for each other is what I think keeps us stronger than ever.
And just because I know, you know, Nick has gone through obviously a recent death in the family, and you just mentioned losing your sister, I guess maybe you more than anyone understand what he's going through right now.
Absolutely. And I've reached out to Nick, and, you know, right now he's dealing with it the best way that he can. And by keeping, you know, going in full motion and not, you know, slowing down. Right now he's on tour. And but I'm definitely there for him. And, you know, first thing I did was reach out to him and say, you know, I've gone through this, you know, probably more than anybody. I know what this is like. And if you need to talk to me, you know, I'm right there for you. And he's reached out to me a couple times. And, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm there for him, just like all the guys.
And when your sister actually passed away, I believe it was probably right around the time that everything was getting really big and crazy for you guys as well. Was working sort of a good way to sort of handle dealing with her passing?
Absolutely. I know when she passed away, it was kind of crazy. It was really right after we won our first MTV award, and we were on our way to go to South America to start a tour there. And luckily enough, my guys gave me the time to deal with her passing away and being with her family and everything. And then I went on a plane and went to South America. And, you know, a lot of people are like, wow, how could you, you know, just keep going so fast and doing all that? And I think that's, believe it or not, what kept me, you know, able to continue on was that I had stuff happening around me, and I had such a good support team that, you know, it definitely helped ease the pain as much as it could.
Now, I know there's going to be a lot of Backstreet Boy fans listening right now, and again, with Nick's recent, tragedy that he's dealing with, is there anything that your fans can do for him right now, like to reach out maybe through Twitter?
I mean, I think definitely Nick is always, you know, on top of his Twitter and, you know, loves to hear the support that he has from the fans. So any of that is always, you know, I think a great way for them to show their support. Just as well, just keep, you know, keeping him in their prayers is the biggest thing.
Joining us on the show right now is solo artist and Backstreet Boys member Howie D. Make sure to check him out on his webpage, howied.com. Also on Twitter, @Howie_D. Howie, I have to ask you, if you look back at everything that you've accomplished at such a young age, you're not even 40 yet. You've accomplished so much with Backstreet Boys as well as, you know, your own ventures. Are you actually capable of being proud of what you've done, or is it difficult for you to sort of rest on your laurels?
I'm very proud. You know, I've looked back and I what I've been able to accomplish with my group, and also now as a, you know, solo artist and helping other artists, and as the life that I've, you know, chosen right now, and even becoming a father, a married husband. And I'm very, you know, very, very proud of what I've been able to accomplish and still accomplishing.
I want to speak to you about your solo venture because, you know, this is your debut CD in a way. Because you've worked so much with Backstreet Boys, this is your first time sort of out on your own. How did you actually come to the decision to work on your solo album, Back to Me? Was it like a nerve-wracking experience to sort of head out on your own, or was there like a sense of freedom and adventure with the whole project?
A little bit of both. Yeah, I can definitely say, venture, stepping outside the box is, it's something that, you know, is not always the easiest thing to do, especially, you know, we have a comfort zone of working with each other almost now 2 decades for the Backstreet Boys. And, you know, but we all did come from individual solo backgrounds. So it wasn't something that was too far away, you know, too crazy of an idea. We all knew when we first started that in time, you know, hopefully Backstreet Boys would be like a launching pad for each of us to release our solo records. So, and, you know, now at this point, you know, our fans, they want to get to know us individually. So I took my time to make it. I did, worked on it for about 5 years. And, you know, I was very proud that I was able to create the body of work that I did and, you know, what I felt, you know, was going to be representing me and out there, you know, outside of the box. And you know, that's why I took my time with making the record. I really wanted to make sure it was really, you know, well-crafted and really represented who I am and where my thoughts are right now with music.
The title of the CD, again, is called Back to Me. Can you actually explain what that means?
Well, actually, we were going over a bunch of different ideas for album titles. And I remember I really wanted to do something like really kind of cool and artsy and all that stuff. And then I remember one of my managers saying to me, what about Back to Me? It's one of the title tracks. It's one of the album tracks on the album. And I was like, it's too simple. Then all of a sudden, next thing you know, I slept on it and I woke up the next day. I was like, this is it. It's Back to Me. It's perfect. It's kind of like, you know, the meaning, you know, Back to Me, you know, coming full circle back to who I am, you know, where I started as a solo artist. And the fact that I had back in it, and I come from Backstreet Boys, I thought it was kind of a cool, you know, double meaning there.
And what was your favorite part of actually working on the album? Was it the writing? Was it the recording?
I would say, yeah, definitely the writing and recording is probably my favorite of it. I am very proud to say that I co-wrote about 3/4 of the record, and I really, you know, handpicked a group of writers and producers that I wanted to work with, and it was so great to, you know, get such a good response back from them wanting to work with me. And it was just, you know, to be able to put, you know, your heart and soul into making a record and, you know, your ideas, your thoughts that are in your head, and be able to see it come reality is really cool.
Now, if I understand things correctly, it took you, you know, several years to get the album done, I'm assuming, because you had so much work to do with Backstreet Boys, and I know you have a management career as well going on. Was it difficult to sort of do it in these different chunks, or do you find that because you've had a bit of space in between maybe recording and stuff, that it's actually come together as quite the cohesive package?
You know, I decided to work on it about 5 years ago, and initially I wanted to do something totally different than Backstreet Boys. I thought I wanted to, you know, explore my Latin roots since my mother's Puerto Rican and do like a Spanish album. Well, over time, in between, you know, working with Backstreet Boys and touring and, you know, making new records, I kept on putting it to the back burner because I never wanted the group to stop the momentum with them because of my solo efforts. But then when I would come back to it every time, it just little by little didn't feel as natural to me. Unfortunately, I don't speak Spanish fluently. It was barely a second language in my house. But it's something I have always wanted to, you know, to embrace my culture, and hopefully down the road I will, you know, be able to make that a reality. But little by little it felt more natural for me to do something that wasn't actually too far, you know, straying away from the mold of, you know, what my fans, you know, like of the Backstreet Boys. You know, they say I have this kind of like sensual kind of like sounding to the ballads, and so voice. So I went with that for my ballads. And then my up-tempos, I did kind of push the envelope a little bit. I worked on this whole like Euro dance pop feel that's going on right now with Teo Cruz and Usher and David Guetta. Because I love to dance, I love positive music, upbeat music, and so that's kind of where I pushed the envelope there. But like I say, over the last 2 years is where it all really started coming together.
And what do you want your fans to take away from the album?
You know, for me, it's like it's a mixture of body of work there, and hopefully there's something that will grab everybody, whether it's, you know, one or two songs. For me, it's just, you know, hopefully just them just getting a chance to know me individually outside of the group and my ideas and my musical journey that I'm going through right now.
Hanging out with us on the show is solo artist and Backstreet Boys member Howie D. Again, make sure to check him out on his website, howied.com, also on Twitter, @Howie_D. Now, not only are you a solo artist as well as, you know, a member of BSB, Howie, but you also took up managing other artists. Like, I'm sure this was several years ago. I remember hearing about this for the first time. Why did you actually sort of decide to go in that direction, to sort of be behind the scenes and helping other people?
Well, you know, I always am very thankful for the opportunities I was given and people that helped me out. And, you know, it's for me, you know, being able to help other artists out is awesome feeling, you know, knowing that I'm able to help guide somebody's career. It kind of came about, believe it or not, initially with a fellow friend of mine that lives up in Canada, a gentleman named CJ Heyer, who used to be in a group called Three Deep. We've been friends for many, many years over the years, and he initially approached me about some songs for an artist that he was managing, a kid named George Nizuka. And I gave him some songs, and I was asking him the direction he was going. Next thing I started bringing a bunch of ideas to him. And he was like, hey, have you ever thought about managing? And I was like, well, you know, I've been recently at that time was trying to help my sister get her career, recorded a record and stuff like that. And I said, you know, for me, it's I just don't have the day-to-day time to be, you know, constantly right there. And he was like, that's what I would, you know, would love to work with you on, because I do have that time. And he says, you know, with you, with your contacts and your connections and, you know, your name, I think we could actually make a really great team. So I said, all right, let's give it a shot. And we had really great success with George in Canada. I think we had 3 top 5 singles with him. And then, like I say, recently our latest project has been Neverest, which I'm very, very proud to be associated with. I was in the part of, you know, helping them get developed as a group and helping them create their sound, and even to where I even asked them to be on my second single with me, Lie to Me, for Canada. It's a duet, and then everywhere else outside of Canada, it's still a solo, but they're featured still in the video. So, you know, it's all about, like I say, giving back a little bit, helping other people.
And do you have any new acts coming up besides Neverest that you're working with? And I guess the part two of that question is, do you plan to continue sort of in this management role for years to come?
I do. I definitely plan on, you know, continuing in the management role. It's something for me that I can see, you know, years down the line, when, you know, maybe the group's not going, you know, 24/7, and we're having a bit more downtime. And depending upon where I am in my life, if I want to, you know, be traveling as much, this is something I could see myself definitely, you know, moving into. And, you know, making, you know, being a little something I can do a little bit more at home, per se. But, yeah, no, I definitely, you know, want to continue working, not only with Neverest, but hopefully we're going to be, you know, managing more artists as the time comes. We don't really try to take on too many, because we really do believe in, you know, being able to service our clients. And so we like to be small and boutique. But, yeah, definitely, I mean, I would love to continue working with other artists as well. So up in Canada, you guys have a lot of talent up there.
We appreciate that, Howie. And I wanted to ask you actually about Canada, because, you know, I actually work at a radio station up here, apart from doing this show. And we were playing the heck out of your track 100 during the last several months. And I've noticed with you that, you know, whether it's here in Montreal, where I currently live, or Toronto and Vancouver and elsewhere across Canada, you have very ardent Howie D fans. And so I wanted to ask you if you could explain your sort of tight relationship, not only with your fans, but it seems that you have a lot of love and you get a lot of love from Canadian media.
Yeah, you know, there's something in the water up there in Canada. I mean, it's I feel like I'm almost a Canadian myself. I'm there so much. I could probably almost live there and totally be comfortable. I don't know, the winters might be a little cold sometimes, but besides that, I could totally be, I think, 100% Canadian. But yeah, no, you know, it's something that, you know, I have had a lot of love from Canada, for not only Backstreet Boys, but for me, and I'm very, very honored and thankful that Canada's, you know, so supportive like that for us. And, you know, definitely, you know, want to keep on doing this and show them our love back to Canada.
And I wanted to ask you as well, with regards to the album Back to Me, you know, we were playing the song 100 up here, and are you going to do, you know, more dates, whether it's here in Canada or elsewhere across the world, with your solo stuff?
Absolutely. Right now, excuse me, right now we're getting in the midst of getting ready to start recording a new Backstreet record. So I'll be leaving here pretty soon to start LA to do that. And the next year we go on this NKOTBSB tour that's going to take us over to Europe and Australia and Jakarta. But then after that, we're in the midst right now of trying to put some dates together, possibly Canada, Japan, the States. And, you know, I'll be definitely on my downtime from Backstreet Boys and New Kids. I'll be definitely doing some solo run dates of my own.
I'm glad you brought up the, you know, New Kids and the Backstreet Boys collaboration, because I was fortunate enough to see you guys when you came up in 2011 to Montreal. And I know you guys were all over North America. First of all, can you tell us how that collaboration came about?
Well, it came about, definitely are all big fans of the New Kids. We grew up, you know, listening to their music and admired them and their success. And when they decided to take a break, they kind of, you know, we kind of, you know, carried the torch and, you know, continued on with our career. And over time, they've watched us. We used to previously have a manager named Johnny Wright that used to be the tour manager for New Kids back in the day. So he introduced us back in the early days to them. And like I say, we both just kind of followed each other's careers. And when they had their big comeback a couple years ago, we were coincidentally in the States touring as well. And we were going to be going through New York at the same time that they were there. And they reached out to us and asked us if we'd be interested in coming up on stage and sing with them. We said, sure, why not? You know, it's kind of hard to shock our fans nowadays, and we felt this might do it. And to our shocking, the fans loved us so much that they actually requested it, this tour. And so after we did the AMAs together and performed, And at that point, it was definitely excitement was there and the curiosity of the fans of what was happening. And so we said, all right, we're going to announce it. We're doing a tour. And we'll start off initially thinking it was only going to be 25 dates in the States and Canada. Ended up turning out to be 53 dates. And like I say, now we're getting ready to go over to Europe with the tour. And it's been an awesome, awesome joint collaboration.
And I want to ask you, going around with this tour, there's 9 guys, if I've done my math correctly. Is it like a traveling circus? Do you guys all have, separate tour buses? Like, how does that all work? Because that seems like a lot of testosterone to deal with.
Yeah, it is. It is, actually. It's kind of crazy. Each of us have our own tour bus to give us a little bit of space, because especially in the States, we have families, and, I have my wife and my child that come out. And it's definitely a lot of male testosterone go backstage. It's quite funny. But, we get along really, really great with those guys. They're awesome. They, like I said, there's so much respect for both of us towards each other. It's become like a new extended part of our family now. And it's awesome. I mean, they have their families come out. We bring out our families. It's a really, really great situation.
And I wanted to ask you what it's like behind the scenes in the way of rehearsals, because, I saw you several months ago, and now I know that each group has sort of gone off to do their own thing. And I know Nick was doing his solo stuff for a bit, you as well. So now I'm assuming you're coming back into rehearsals, shortly. How fun is that to do, to rehearse together? Because I know you guys each do, obviously, the solo stuff, meaning each of your own group separately, but then you do come together for certain parts together. Like, what is it like backstage, dancing all together and stuff?
It's really cool. I mean, all the guys there are very, very talented, and we have an area underneath the stage where we change. That's where the real show is. It's quite funny. We're especially when we're all changing at the same time. We're all like joking around and making jokes and stuff like that. And while they're on stage and we're down below changing, we're always watching them and everything. And then at the same time, they're doing the same thing to us. So we're all like teasing each other. So it's a funny situation, but. Like I say, we have a lot of fun. There's no big heads or anything like that. We get along, we laugh, we joke, we really have a good time on the show.
And when I was actually at, this concert when you were here in Montreal, I have to tell you, I have been to many concerts because of being a radio announcer. I've had the awesome opportunity to see so many artists. Your concert with New Kids was the loudest concert I have ever been at in my life. And I actually, because I have sort of sensitive ears, so I actually had earplugs in. I still couldn't hear for 4 days after. And so
wow.
I want to ask you, it was insane. Like I was with actually my music director from the radio station, and we were just we knew it would be crazy, but it was so just not overwhelming is not the word, because it was just so great to be a part of it. But what is it like for you guys, having all these ladies, and there was guys in the audience too, just screaming at you guys? And it's been, years of these fans. What is it like to feel the love after all these years?
It's amazing. I mean, like I say, I definitely can say we have some of the best fans in the world, especially going now almost 2 decades strong, and see how they've grown with us as we've grown, and, our lives are, parallel, growing together. And, there's so much love and support. I don't know how we got so lucky to have this opportunity, to have this, amazing worldwide fan base. But we really, truly are blessed. Our fans are what really keep us going. They are the heart and soul of us. They're the ones that when we've sang the song, a million times, quit playing games, when you get out there and you look and you see that one particular smile, that one, excitement that rushes through a person when they hear the song, that's what keeps us keeping everything fresh.
And how does it feel like, Howie, when you actually get to meet, because I know you guys do meet and greets and stuff, and when you meet, these fans that I'm sure have been with you, I know there's new fans too, because I've seen the young girls that are all over you guys, but what is it like to, let's say, talk to like a 30-year-old woman who's followed you since you guys were, let's say, the same age? When you meet them one-on-one, does your heart still kind of just jump a little bit to know that this person is just completely still so into you guys and care about you guys as a band and as people?
Absolutely, absolutely. People sometimes, they even ask me, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry to ask you for your autograph, I'm sure you hate it. And I said, no, I said, I'm very honored and blessed. I said, the day when I stop getting my, stop getting asked for my autograph is the day that I really need to worry, is what I always say. So I'm always flattered when I'm asked to, do an autograph or meet somebody for the first time and see their excitement. The stories that we hear, how we, touch people's lives, is sometimes amazing. People have told us, it's because of you, that while my parents were dying or while I was going through a sickness, I was able to get through it because of your music. You know, there's times where they'll say, I met some of my best friends because of you guys, because of our, you know, being into your music and going to concerts or talking online, you know, or going on one of our cruises with us, you know. Those kind of touching stories like that really just, you know, make you, you know, I don't know, makes me sleep good at night, that's for sure.
That's fantastic. Joining us on the show, solo artist and Backstreet Boys member Howie D. Check him out, HowieD.com, also on Twitter, @Howie_D. Howie, just a couple more questions. I just wanted to ask you, because you did bring up your sister before, who tragically passed away. I know that you and your family started a very important foundation. Can you tell us about that? Because I know she did pass away from lupus.
Yes. No. I unfortunately had a sister named Caroline, who at the age of 38, unfortunately was taken away from us. She was stricken with the disease lupus. And since then, my family and I, this was 12 years ago, we created the Duro Lupus Foundation in memory of her. Our mission was to, at the time, we were just getting so much, you know, love and support from the fans. And, you know, it initially started where we were getting over, you know, abundance of flowers that kept on getting sent to the house. And then people started asking, well, what can we do? And then her hospital, one of our local hospitals had mentioned something about, you know, maybe you can ask your fans if they'd be willing to, you know, donate money to the research. And we said, that's a great idea. And then little by little, it turned into us creating a foundation and giving out money to research and doing fundraisers. And I'm very proud to say, you know, we raised close to $1 million, which we've given mostly out to UCLA's Research Center. We also did do something in Chatham. At a university, the university there, the hospital, we created a morning room that we were able to create for loved ones that are, you know, experiencing the last few moments with their loved ones before they pass away, and being able to feel comfortable and be able to grieve in however they wanted to. And so, you know, I'm very proud that, you know, I've been able to do this work and give back in my own special way for my sister and will be lost.
And also, you know, in the years since you have become a member of Backstreet Boys, you know, you've obviously grown as a man, you've become a husband and a father. I have to ask you, how do you actually find the time to be, you know, a present and good husband, also a good father, because I know you have so many commitments that you have to be, you know, all over the place?
It's definitely a challenge. You know, I can definitely say if I didn't have such a loving, supporting wife, I don't know how I would be able to do it. But I have such an amazing wife that totally understands me and my career. We used to work together, so she totally gets it. She used to work with us at the Backstreet Boys 10 years ago and totally understands my life and, you know, what makes me happy. And she's, you know, my rock. She's my other half of my team, and she is there for my son 24/7 when the times that I can't be. And it's through her and her love, that, you know, and understanding that's able to make me the best father I can be for my son. And when I do have my time off, I really dedicate to my family and try to put in as much time that I can to make up for the lost time.
And being a dad, has that changed how you are as an artist?
Definitely. I mean, it's definitely, you know, being a father has definitely taught me to be selfless. You know, it's now about what's going to be best for my son. And, you know, wanting to be the best entertainer that I can to, you know, when he comes out and sees me, that he sees, you know, this is what my dad does for a living. And to make him, you know, instill in him a good work ethic like that I have, that my family instilled in me, to want to do the best that you can, to follow, you know, find a dream, a passion, and to really try to, you know, do well at it.
You mentioned that you're about to start recording with with the Backstreet Boys for a new album. Is that going to happen in the next couple months? And I guess, can we expect a new album from you guys before 2013?
We're actually going to start recording the end of this month here, the end of February, going up until we take off to go on tour. And then once we finish the touring, we'll be getting back into the studio after a little bit of a break, which, like I said, that break I'll probably be touring myself. But definitely we'd love to have the album out before the end of the year. We're not going to rush it, though, at the same time. You know, we've always been big, firm believers in making the best album that you can make, and sometimes that takes time. You know, a good example of myself, you know, making my own record. And so we're going to try to, you know, push it out as quick as possible for our fans, but at the same time, we're going to make sure we make a great record. And if that comes out this year, so be it. If not, definitely it'll be out next year.
I know your fans love you so much. And again, you're on Twitter. Is that your favorite way of communicating with them? And if they want to get a message to you, is that the best way to sort of, you know, send their love to you?
Twitter has become definitely a new member of my family. it's something that I've been able to embrace and really, you know, get on board with, because you know, I'm able to do it from anywhere while I'm traveling, and I really love it. It's probably one of my best communications with my fans. But I'm also all over Facebook, and I have, like I say, my website, howied.com, you know, and I have my great supportive management team that helped me with it all, and fill in the cracks where I'm not able to. So definitely, you know, social media and networks are my friends.
Fantastic. Howie, thank you so much for joining us on the show this week. I really, really appreciate your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Sorry for the crazy, crackly voice there.
It's all good. I'm sure you're
fighting a little bit of a cold myself as well.
That's all good. Well, you sound great to me, and you sound great to your fans.
Oh, thank you.
So, Howie, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And that's, again, Howie D right here on the Kelly Alexander Show. Check him out on his website, howied.com. Again, on Twitter, @Howie_D.
Hey, everybody. This is Howie D, and you're hanging out on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Past the holiday season and marching through the winter months in many parts of the world. One thing to look forward to if you do live in a winter climate is the arrival of Valentine's Day. I think it brings kind of a sense of warm and fuzziness to the cold that's going on outside. To give us an idea how to spice up Valentine's Day this year and march through the winter months with some fresh ideas is our smart shopper, Solmaz McDaddy of MySweetDeals.ca. Solmaz, welcome back to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thanks so much, Kelly.
Now, I know that a lot of people want to show their love to their partner on Valentine's Day, but, you know, there has to be, I guess, maybe a smart way to get, thoughtful gifts without blowing your budget.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think we're always looking for ways to save money year-round, but when it comes to Valentine's Day, you really want to show your love to that special someone in your life. And there's no better way of doing it than going to group saving websites. You know, I've gotten on that bandwagon, and many people that I know have gotten on that too. So I suggest that you go check it out, because there might be that deal that you're going to want to offer for Valentine's Day, whether it's for a restaurant or a spa, or maybe it's a local florist is having a special deal for a dozen roses. You never know. So that's definitely something great to check out. I bought my boyfriend a couples massage, so that's what we're going to be doing on Valentine's Day, and I got it at a 60% discount. And very important to note, not to just take the discount for saying, oh, well, this is great, I'm definitely going to buy it. Doesn't mean that there's a discount, that it's a good place, or you want to do your research, right? So you want to see, okay, is it in the nearby vicinity of where I live? Maybe you want to type in the name of the company and add a review to Google to see if they're really credible. But I've gotten many deals on these group saving websites, and I definitely recommend it for Valentine's Day.
Now, Solmaz, speaking of Valentine's Day again, it is sort of several days away still. Is this something that we should be going after right now, or do we have to wait closer to the actual, you know, day?
I would definitely recommend going after it right now, because as we get closer to the date, we know that people are willing to spend the money because they think, oh no, I'm last minute, I have to get something, I can't show up empty-handed. And of course, companies know that, so there are less deals closer to the date. So I definitely encourage people to go and check it out, especially if, you know, it's something that involves shipping, or again, the florist, you know, if you order the same day, sometimes they're overwhelmed with orders. So definitely check it out now.
Okay. Now, even though, you know, we may want to do something special for Valentine's Day, I think many of us get trapped into the whole flowers and candy, you know, sort of traditional way of doing things. But to me, there has to be a way of thinking outside the box.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, flowers and candy, you know, traditional, people like them, girls, I mean, you send me flowers, I'll definitely be happy. But if you want to spice things up a little, or maybe, again, it's because you have a bit less budget, but you think, okay, well, the bouquet is $50, $100, and it's traditional. So maybe try thinking outside the box with something that will just put a smile on your loved one's face. So, for example, there's this great company called Warms. Their website is getwarms.com, and warm as in like fuzzy feeling. It's really innovative and so cute. As soon as I heard about this, I thought, my God, you know, really great when instead of just giving a card, or again, that bigger gift of the flowers, you send a warm. So here's what it is. It's a little box that you send to that loved one. It gets delivered through courier. So your loved one opens it up, and there's a little, like, kind of baby inside with a heart, and he comes out, springs out of there, and says, ta-da, curious who sent this to you? Go to getwarms.com and enter this code. So you think, wow, that's so sweet. You get that fuzzy feeling inside. You think, someone sent this to me. Great. So you go to the website, you type in the code, and you have a personalized video of the loved one that sent it to you. Now, what better gift than the gift of time that, you know, that person put the thought into coming up with a creative video, just telling them how much they love you and how much you mean to them? That's really special, and it's a fraction of the cost of a bouquet of flowers or the jewelry that we also all love, but definitely very attentive. So that's definitely something that you could look into, or any other different idea. I think bottom line is, if that person knows you took the time, because that's what we like, take the time to send something that that person will appreciate.
Even actually taking the time to do a card, I think, is important, because I think so many people, you know, want to do the flowers or candy thing. But then, just like you mentioned, actually taking the time to write something down, even if you're doing a Valentine's Day e-card.
Oh, absolutely. You know, a special message, a special poem. If it's not in your routine to you know, write poetry, and it's not in all of our routines, you know, but to know that that person took the time to identify characteristics and qualities that suit your personality, and writing a little special message, that means the world to me, and it does to many people. And you know, it doesn't have to cost very much at all. It could be free.
Joining us on the show is our smart shopper, Solmaz McDaddy of MySweetDeals.ca. Solmaz, are there any ways to sort of pamper yourself around Valentine's without, you know, again, watching your budget sort of go down the tubes?
There is, and this is kind of my little secret. I've never told anyone this, but I think it's a great way to get pampered. So if you buy makeup, you know, you go out, you buy your mascara, your blush, your lipstick, glosses, whatever, and you've got your routine and you know that, okay, I'm going to go into, for example, MAC, that's where I get my mascara and my lip gloss, or any beauty counter for that matter, they actually offer a service where when you buy a minimum purchase, that you could get a free makeup session. So that's what I do. I wait till I have a couple of things that I need, and then I go in, I get pampered. Why not? I'm spending the money anyways. So I think that's a great way, you know, for Valentine's Day, if you want to spice things up again a little bit, you know, it is, you know, you are spending money, but you would have spent that money anyways if you're out of your product. So that's kind of a good way to come home and look all pampered and dolled up.
Fantastic. Which again, your spouse will or your partner will enjoy. If you're taking good care of yourself, it makes them feel better too.
Yeah, it makes you feel good, and by feeling good, well, you make them feel good, and so, you know, it's a win-win situation.
Excellent. And I wanted to ask you as well, I think maybe people don't think about this, winter sales, is there any way that those could sort of figure into your Valentine's Day gift?
Oh, definitely. There are so many winter sales right now. It's crazy. You walk, you know, all the stores got these big sales signs. They want to liquidate their winter collections because, I mean, we know spring is around the corner, so they want to start stocking their stores. And so you go into the store, how many stores, like the lingerie stores, you know, Christmas, that just passed by, had the red outfits. Well, Valentine's Day is red and white as well. So you might be able to go on the sale rack and score a couple of nice, cute little outfits for Valentine's Day. Why not? Get them at half the cost or maybe, you know, 75% off. They've got the Valentine's Day display in their window, full price. But why don't you walk a little further in the back row and get a really good discount?
I think that's an amazing piece of advice, Solmaz, because just like you said, I think a lot of people don't realize, or they're so, I guess, marketed, you know, at with regards to the pink and the white and the red balloons that, oh, this is the Valentine's Day area, buy here, that you don't think about going to the rest of the store, which might be still trying to get rid of their Christmas stock.
Exactly. You have to, you know, be creative, try and think outside the box. It's not because it's white and red that, and it says Valentine's Day, that you have to buy in that section where it's full price. Because again, you know, the week after Valentine's Day, it will go on sale. And, you know, why not just go to the sale rack where the Christmas collections are being liquidated?
Now, I know that when you and I have spoken before regarding holiday gifts, meaning Christmas specifically, you have told me in the past that, you know, you will look for Christmas gifts throughout the year because let's say you do find that wallet on sale in April and you know that it would probably work out for your boyfriend or your dad, you know, at Christmas, that you purchase it in April when it's on sale. Is that something that can be carried over for a Valentine's Day or maybe even an Easter that's coming up in the next couple months as well?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's something that, you know, the way I keep track of things is whenever I have ideas for loved ones, I'll mark them down on, you know, Valentine's Day or a birthday or Easter or Father's Day. You know, the massage that I scored was a couple of months ago, and so I thought, perfect. You know, there's a couple's day, couple's massage. Let me purchase this for Valentine's Day. So sometimes you have to keep those holidays in mind and try and get creative when you do see a great deal, because if it's an offer that you can't pass up, well, just make sure that you think about it for that special holiday and that special someone in your life.
Perfect. And Solmaz, is there anything that you would like to leave us with, again, as we sort of plan out our Valentine's Day, you know, items or gifts that we're going to get for our loved ones? Because again, I think, as you and I talked about at Christmas, it's very easy to get sucked into the emotion of it all.
Right. Well, I would, you know, the most important thing is make sure that you follow your budget and don't spend to spend, you know, because people that love you and you love them, but they don't want you to spend money to make them happy. Hopefully they don't, at least, you know, because then that's not great. Bottom line is they want you to think about them. And so that's always what I try and think, you know, give them something that you know they'll appreciate. So that could be free, you know, it could be you're not a baker and you go out of your way to bake cupcakes, you know, for Valentine's Day. It doesn't cost very much, but hey, you know, I don't bake, you know, I don't cook, and I made this for you. Even if it's not that good, trust me, they'll probably be really happy that you went out of your way. And again, you know, the card, that'll be really, really a thoughtful gift. So focus more on the idea than on the money and spending, splurging on the perfumes and the jewelry.
Fantastic. Solmaz, thank you again for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kelly.
Again, that's our smart shopper, Solmaz McDaddy of MySweetDeals.ca. Again, make sure to check her out on her website, MySweetDeals.ca.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
Tis the season for all things love. We are right in the season of Valentine's Day. And for many people, this can be a very joyous occasion. For other people, not so much. But we want to make it a great time for all. And so joining us on the show right now is Kim Hughes, who is a singles and dating expert for Lavalife.com. Kim, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Kelly, thank you so much for having me.
Now, Kim, I guess before we start off talking about certain aspects of Valentine's Day, I wanted to ask you, how does a single person objectively look at Valentine's Day?
Well, I think objectively is actually a very good word. It's something that you have to try to keep in perspective. I mean, to some degree, I think Valentine's Day is kind of, you know, a greeting card holiday. It's not the same as Easter or Christmas or bigger events like that. So keeping it in perspective is probably the first and most important thing that you can do. Now, that's easier said than done. If you're sitting in your office and all of your coworkers are having, you know, bouquets of flowers coming in and you're the single person and not getting those flowers. But, you know, again, just remember that, you know, being single is not a life sentence. It's a passage. So, you know, just try to keep it in perspective and try to enjoy the day.
Perfect. And so I wanted to ask you as well, I guess some tips to get through the day if you are single, because, again, I think some people don't look at it as such a happy day.
You're absolutely right about that. There are some simple things that people can do that are single, and I think we're speaking more to women here, too, because I don't think men get as up on this. But just to sort of get through that day, one of the best things you can do is to take charge of the holiday and send a Valentine to someone that you love. It could be your sister. It could be your best friend. It could be, you know, the barista who makes your coffee in the morning exactly the way you like it. So it's a way of sort of acknowledging the occasion, making somebody else feel great, and you in turn are going to feel great. So that's a simple thing to do. Another really amazing thing to do that has a lot of karmic payoff is to kind of think about what you must spend if you were in a relationship and you were going to buy somebody, you know, whatever you would buy them, candy, wine or flowers, and then take that same amount of money and donate it to charity.
That's an excellent idea.
It's going to make you feel amazing. There's a million charities out there, all are deserving. And again, it's just a way of being able to set the day with something hung up on all of the sort of romantic aspects of it. So there's two things right there.
And should you, you know, maybe as you commence the day, is there a way to sort of, I don't know, feel like grateful about just you and yourself in general, like not needing to think about, oh, I don't have a loved one?
You know, I think that's a really important point. A lot of times singles, when they're thinking about relationships, they only think about the beginning part. You know, it's all sweetness and light and beauty, but, you know, relationships progress. And relationships have very, very difficult and rocky patches. And so when you're single, something to bear in mind, I mean, sort of pull away some of the gauze that is surrounding your view of relationships. And remember, there are some real virtues to being single. You know, being able to hog the bed, being able to do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it, being able to have the freedom to travel or, you know, the list is endless. Again, as I said at the beginning, it's not a life sentence, it's a rite of passage. So enjoy it, celebrate it, and know that it's going to be that way forever.
And if you are single, is it important to, if you are maybe potentially feeling in a bit of a downer mood, is it important for you to maybe make a plan and spend the day or spend the night or the evening with other fellow single people?
No, I think that's a great idea. And I think in this situation as well, vodka is your friend. you know, be with your single friend, have a drink, go out, and just sort of, you know, reclaim the night. There's a lot of places you could go where you're not going to be, you know, face-to-face with canoodling couples. I mean, you know, most cities have bowling alleys that are fun to hang out at. Most cities, certainly in Montreal, have, you know, divey karaoke bars that you can go to. Couples are not going to go there, but you can go with your friends, you can have a great time, have a couple of drinks, and have a ball.
And a question as well, if you are in a couple, is there a way to be looking, I think, at Valentine's Day objectively as well? Because I know, for example, you know, one of my friends, she is, for some reason, slightly obsessed with Valentine's Day. Like, she expects the chocolate and the flowers and all the tacky stuff that kind of goes along with that. Not to say that flowers and chocolate are tacky, but it seems very sort of, you know, just static to get that on that day. And so, is there a way to look at it where you're not, you know, expecting too much from your mate?
Well, I think the same thing applies that we were talking about earlier, that it is kind of a greeting card holiday. I think that women in particular sort of lard their partners with these expectations at their show. You know, guys are often very well-meaning, but it's a pretty rare guy who can sort of tap into the kind of, you know, weepy, romantic, stylized expectations of women without disappointing her. So, you know, if you're going to put those kinds of expectations on your partner, your chances of getting disappointed are pretty high. I mean, I think if you're in a good relationship, then every day is Valentine's Day. It really is. You know, just to expect any sort of traditional things that you were saying, like chocolate and flowers. I mean, speaking for myself, if I get flowers on a Thursday in March just because a person was thinking of me at that moment and wanted to reach out and have a nice gesture, that's ultimately going to be a lot more meaningful to me than somebody who feels like they have to do something, you know, to be as part of convention.
As well, what do you say to people? Because this always frightens me. I am not a fan of proposals happening on someone's birthday, Christmas, or Valentine's Day. What is your thoughts on that, Kim?
I think you're right to be really wary of that, particularly if it was something like your birthday, and you know, then you're always going to associate that day, your birthday, which you're going to have every year, with something that maybe didn't work out.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's always good to pick a neutral day for that kind of really heavy stuff.
Okay, perfect. I'm glad, because I feel that there are still people out there, guys and girls, that get swept up in it. And I get it, because I've been, you know, in relationships too, where you're like, oh, everything is pink and red and fun and let's do whatever. But I think a proposal is such an important thing that it shouldn't be happening on like a holiday like that. I know that Valentine's Day is not a holiday, but it does have meaning around it for certain people. And I just think that people need to be very aware of what they're doing. And I also wanted your opinion, Kim, on, let's say someone is coming out of a divorce and this is their first Valentine's Day, or God forbid, you know, the passing of a spouse. How do you suggest someone gets through that day?
Well, that's obviously a very tough question. I mean, I guess it depends if you, your partner and you tended to celebrate Valentine's Day and make a big deal out of it, then it's going to be a more painful experience than who just sort of just treated it like any other day. I think the most important thing in that situation would be, you know, maybe to write up a gratitude list where you literally, you know, get down with a pencil and paper and write down things that you're grateful for and focus on that. And it could be something as simple as, you know, the relationship didn't work out, or as you say, God forbid if someone passes, but let's say it's a divorce scenario. That relationship didn't work out, but the chances are there's other relationships in your life that are really positive. So make a list of them, you know, your family or your friends or just people support you and take care of you. That could be a really effective thing to do. Another thing could be just spoil yourself. You know, take $100 and go and get a mani-pedi, or go and get a massage, and just sort of, you know, make love to yourself.
That's a perfect idea. I think a lot of people forget about themselves in all of this.
Well, I think I'm paraphrasing Woody Allen. He says, don't knock masturbation at sex with someone you love.
That's fantastic. And Kim, before I let you go, is there anything that you would sort of say again to singles? Because I know, you know, I've been through it where I've been alone on Valentine's Day. And to be honest with you, one of the things that I did is my dad is not very good at sort of affectionate type stuff. Yet he makes sure my mom's car is always running. You know, he does all that sort of stuff. So she knows that he cares about her, you know, all year round. But I know that my brother and I, for many years, would go and actually get her a bouquet of flowers along with my grandma and my aunt. And that made me feel most excellent, you know, being able to do that for other people. And I always looked at Valentine's Day as a fun thing, whether I was with someone or not.
I think so, the right attitude to have, you know, just make it something that is fun, make it something that's lighthearted. Again, keeping it in perspective. You know, it's not like the Lord came on high and said that, you know, anyone who is partnered has to engage in a certain behavior, and anyone who's single is supposed to feel terrible on this day. That's not what this is about. It's a greeting card holiday. Make it what you want to make it. Spread some happiness if that's meaningful to you. But just don't get hung up on all of this so-called tradition.
Fantastic. Kim, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Kelly, thanks and happy Valentine's Day.
Back at you. That is Kim Hughes, again, a singles and dating expert for lavalife.com.
Capture your need for sound.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show this week. And a big thank you to my guests, including Howie D of the Backstreet Boys, Solmaz McDaddy, and Kim Hughes. And I want to leave you with your thought-provoking quote of the week, this time from Marcus Tullius Cicero. If you have no confidence in self, you are twice defeated in the race of life. With confidence, you have won even before you have started. There you go. If you have any comments or questions, Kelly at KellyAlexanderShow.com. Have an awesome week. You and I will chat soon.
The Kelly Alexander Show is hosted by Kelly Alexander. Produced by Esteban Vargas, Barbara Purcell, Chris Paré, and Kelly Alexander. Original themes and production music composed by Ian Campbell. Thanks for listening.